Well, we just found out this afternoon that in the SolarWinds hack of their Orion product, and Orion is basically a network tool that has access to servers and systems on a particular network. It's essentially a network tool. But in that hack that we've learned about just this week, where Russian intelligence services hacked the SolarWinds core code, which SolarWinds then pushed out to their customers as an update between March and June, we found out today that the hackers were able to access systems at the National Nuclear Security Administration. And that's according to an article from Politico. So this network tool that SolarWinds created, the upgrade server was hacked by Russian intelligence services in such a way that the code that they then pushed out to all of their customers included the hacked code from the Russian intelligence services. And we're just discovering the extent of the hack, but they think, according to the Political article, that the hack was limited to just the business networks at this point, they think. But here was Frank Figluzzi on MSNBC this afternoon. And Frank is a former FBI Assistant Director for Counterintelligence. And have a listen to what he said.
They've had 4 years of free license to do pretty much what they wish. They're doing some last minute shopping, so to speak, before a new president takes over. And they're getting done what they need to do. But there's another level here, which is this chaos and discord. We need to understand that this is going to continue. This is the new warfare. And, you know, as Donna has said, this is, again, kind of a post 9/11 response to this is to question the organizational mm-hmm. structure of our government's ability to respond to this, right? After 9/11, you recall, we created a DNI. We embedded CIA and FBI together under one roof in a counterterrorism center. We created the Department of Homeland Security. It's time now to question whether or not our government is properly positioned to deal with the new warfare, the new threat.
So that's a nice way of putting it. He says the Russians are doing some last-minute window shopping. And what he means is they're doing some last-minute Trump administration window shopping. And folks, whether we like it or not, to protect our national security, we're going to have more oversight into the private companies that create things like these tools, like the Orion product. We're going to have more oversight. And we're going to have to ensure that best practices are followed, software updates are applied, securing code and certifying code, either on a real-time or near-time basis, that the code that we deem critical that we're running on our critical machines that are important for national security of the United States, that the code that we're running is indeed the code that we should have, and it hasn't been hacked, it hasn't been changed in any way. There needs to be a check so that the code that's running is verified on a real-time or near-time basis. So right now what happens, folks, is that the private technology industry creates this code or this tool like the Orion product. The government sticks it in to their networks all over the place, and there's no guarantee beyond a handshake and a smile that precautions are followed and best practices are followed, or any of that is done. So this has to change. There's no regulation. There's no oversight whatsoever. And like you see here, the code is pushed out and it's used in some of the most critical systems that we have in the United States. And by the way, folks, if you're Russia and you're looking to hack the U.S. and its critical systems, now is the time to do it. The Trump presidency has been soft on Russia for the past 4 years. Have a listen to this clip that I found from Reuters. This goes back to some stuff that I think you should know. Have a listen to this.
I have no loans in Russia. I don't have any deals in Russia.
Since the campaign, President Trump has downplayed his business ties with Russia, but in the United States, members of the Russian elite have invested in Trump. A Reuters review has found that 68 individuals with Russian passports or addresses have bought at least $102 million worth of property in seven Trump-branded luxury towers in southern Florida. Reuters investigative reporter Nathan Lane has the story.
I think broadly we found kind of three groups of people. We found, the people that you would consider in the kind of the upper crust of Russian society, very wealthy people. And kind of the second group were kind of regional politicians that had become wealthy and wanted to invest in the U.S. And the third group, I should say, are kind of normal, I wouldn't say normal Russians, but Russians with a little bit of money, but not necessarily very wealthy, but enough money to invest in property in the U.S.
Trump struck a deal in 2001 with a local American developer named Gil Deser to construct six luxury towers in the Florida beach town of Sunny Isles. The properties would bear Trump's name, but be operated by Deser under a licensing agreement.
So typically what happens when you develop these properties and Trump puts his name on the property, he's getting a cut of the initial sale.
So did you hear in that clip where he said 68 people with Russian passports have bought $102 million in Trump properties? That's huge. And this is from a story that was published by Reuters on March 17, 2017, called Russian Elite Invested Nearly $100 million in Trump Buildings. But wait, folks, that's not it. There's more. Here's an article from the Palm Beach Post from September 15th of 2020, and it's entitled, "Don't Say Russian, Trump Didn't Want to ID Palm Beach Mansion Buyer." Interesting, isn't it? Well, the article goes on to say, "Don't say Russian." These were the words Donald Trump first told this reporter back in May of 2008. The topic was the buyer of a Palm Beach mansion owned by Trump. The then New York real estate developer had just inked a blockbuster deal to sell the oceanfront real estate for $100 million, a record for home sale, even in the island's billionaire playground. And it goes on to say that in a telephone interview on May 14th of 2008, Trump confirmed the pending sale but told this reporter he didn't want it known that the buyer was Russian. "Don't say Russian," Trump said. The sale closed in July of 2008 for $95 million to County Road Property LLC, netting Trump a profit of $54 million just months before global markets crashed. And I think they mean the global real estate market crash back in 2008. County Road Property was owned by Russian billionaire Dmitry Rybalov, who made his fortune in fertilizer potash. Russian billionaire. And folks, you don't become a Russian billionaire if you don't have contacts to Vladimir Putin. So I don't know the answer to this question, folks, but what else does Russia have on Trump? What else? Trump has never been hard on Russia, and here we've got a major hack that we don't know the depth of yet, and we expect Trump to do something about it? We expect him, really, to do something about it? Trump isn't going to say squat about this, folks. Like Frank Figluzzi said, Russia is doing last-minute window shopping. Trump hasn't said anything about this hack since it's broken anyway. We've heard nothing from him. Why should we expect him, Trump, to say anything now, to be honest? And you see the conflict that we're facing right now. I mean, these people are his customers, for God's sakes. These Russians are his customers. So what do you expect him to say? I mean, to be honest. So, folks, I don't know where all this is going to go, and you know, we're still discovering things almost on a daily basis, and let's hope it doesn't get worse. But the one thing I can say is that it's time to move to prevent a hack like this that was entirely preventable. Where's the accountability? Where's the accountability for something like this? Well, folks, thanks for listening, and until next time.